I ask that you would bless the many that are not here today as they're fellowshipping with many others, and keep your hand over all of them for good. Lord, just bless our service here. Thank you for the songs. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you speak through us, and I ask that you would just bless that it would be your word that's spoken today, and that our hearts would be blessed. And I ask that you would just keep your hand over our week. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'd like to start in Psalm 84. And I'd like to entitle this, A Doorkeeper in the House of My God. Psalm 84, how amiable, or how lovely, are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I had my trust exercised a little bit this week. I had to remember to trust the Lord. Sometimes we just have to remind ourselves that some of the things that come up that we can't handle on our own, that, all right, I need to put the scriptures to the test. I need to let the Lord do what he says he will do. And I just thought about that verse that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them, and was reading that passage this week, and also Psalm 121, where it talks about lifting our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, and that our help comes from the Lord who makes heaven and earth, and that he neither slumbers nor sleeps, that he's our keeper, the shade upon our right hand, and that the sun can't smite us by day or the moon by night, and that he'll preserve us from all evil, he'll preserve our soul, and he'll watch our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forever. That is what I've been dwelling on this week. And, you know, when we think about that, and the protection that God has for us, it just helps us realize, you know, even if it was just a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, how much better it is to be there than a thousand days anywhere else, and how important it is that the Lord is our stay. And, you know, I find that there's times where I can be thankful for the trials because of what it draws me to and helps me to realize that my trust is in the Lord. Sometimes we think we know that to some degree and we feel it to some degree, but sometimes when put to the test, we really understand it. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his blessings. So I was thinking about a doorkeeper. And, you know, when you go, I know some of us go more often than others, but did you ever notice the lady at the entrance of Walmart who's just humbly doing her job? She's sweeping stuff into a dustpan. She's always in the entry. She's just always there. It's like that lady looks like she lives there. And I mean, you know, always might be a big word, but she's there. And also the guy standing inside that beyond the second set of doors, you know, these are the doorkeepers or watchmen or security people, perhaps, in their own sense. They are doing their job, but you can't get in or out of that place without going past them, at least in the main entrance there. If they see anything suspect, they can radio or communicate to someone and, you know, call on others for coverage. And who knows how many times they may have prevented shoplifting, saved lives in one way or another, you know, seen something that was a concern and gave warning, contacted somebody, warded off troublemakers, whatever. And all the while, they continue to sweep, answer questions, take baskets or push carts back or whatever they're doing, and they look very unimportant. It's like, who would pay somebody to stand there and do nothing all day, sweep the same stuff that they swept an hour ago? But actually, their job's kind of important because it is nice to go in and out of a clean place. But there's something beyond what you see. And today I'd like to think about that in relation to the smaller jobs that sometimes it feels like God is giving us, and how they can actually really be important in themselves or a stepping stone after we've passed the test of accepting the small jobs to something else that we might have looked at as greater. You know, if the safety and success of Walmart is the chief joy of those people, they can really be watchmen and be looking out. If that's the case, they're filling a very important role. If the safety and success of God's people is our work, and our desire is that people would ever be coming to the Lord, would ever be seeking the Lord, we're filling a very important role, whatever it is, whatever position we take. I think oftentimes, as people, we want something greater. We want to maybe not be the president, but we want to be something. We want to do something. And it's so easy to think like Scuffy the Tugboat, I was meant for greater things. How many of you know that story? Several. Anyway, this little tugboat in a toy store that was up on a shelf, went home with, I might get the story mixed up a little bit, but went home with a little boy and was in a bathtub. And after a while, after bumping the sides of the bathtub, whatever, says, I was meant for bigger things. And winds up eventually in the ocean. And just as he was wishing he could be back where in the bathtub, the man reaches out and grabs Scuffy and brings him home, and he's sailing happily ever after in the bathtub, because he was not meant for those things. He was a little tugboat. I'm a little tugboat. And you know, I'm only meant for what I'm meant for. But God has a place for me. And maybe I can brighten the little boy's life who's watching the tugboat in the bathtub. But whatever it is, we're all compared to somebody. We're just a tugboat, as it were. And if we're not careful, we feel we're meant for greater things. What we're doing is important. And God has a use for us. And he needs many a meek Moses to guide people after years of preparation. You know, what might God be preparing me for 20 years from now? I don't know. But what I do know is that I want to use my life, I want you to use your life well and faithfully in the little things or the big things that God is calling each one of us to. Now I'd like to turn to the book of Esther and take a look at the life of Mordecai, who made a difference and he was keeping the gate. And I'd like to start in chapter 2 and just see how he was being a good watchman. Esther chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. There he was, sitting there at the gate. He heard something. He made the proper communication, and it was communicated through the queen to the king, and a life was saved. The king's life. And it was an important thing that was going on there. He was not somebody that was, the king's right-hand man, so to say. It was somebody in the gate. And as time goes on, we'll see more about him here. So the next chapter, verses 1 through 6, I want to see how Mordecai was true to God when he was put to the test and would not bow before and reverence Haman. You know, there's difficult jobs that come to us sometimes when we are in the gate or in the door, because we're always visible, we're always seen, we're always, we're always being watched as we're watching. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Wow. He was just doing his job and honoring his God, and he couldn't do what would have pleased Haman here. Looking at the next chapter, we're going to see how Mordecai put what he had into his job. He was doing his job. He was doing what he was doing thoroughly. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 4, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. So he was making a lot of noise, and he was very recognizably mourning or distressed. You know, sometimes I think we might be too quiet about the things that really we need to pipe up about. We need to be the one that is willing to say something. It's difficult. You know, it gets easier with practice. I'm one of these people who, you know me, Melvin, I speak my heart and my mind because I can't do otherwise. I believe that is what I need to do. And, you know, over the years, brothers' meetings or whatever, I just have to. If I sit there and everybody sits there and we all go home and the things didn't come up that we needed to discuss, then it's my fault and it's everybody else's fault. But I take it personally, and I really believe that we need to, at times, we need to be ready to open our mouths and say the things that are difficult to say that need to be said. I don't think it'd be a whole lot of fun to sit in the gate and be in sackcloth and ashes and crying out with a loud voice, but he had something that was very important to him. And we'll look into verses 13 through 17. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, who was wondering what he was doing in the gate like this, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. That's really putting a lot into what you're doing to not eat or drink for 3 days. Not eating for 3 days is hard enough, but not eating or drinking for 3 days sounds miserable. But this was a life or death matter, and here he was, this doorkeeper watchman guy, ready to do what needed to be done. And the queen says, "You all do this, and we'll do this, and I will take the risk of going before the king." And so he made sure that he did that, that Esther had commanded him. The next portion of Esther that I'd like to look at is in chapter 6. And I'd like to think about Romans 8:28 in relation to this, which says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. That God, seeing overall, seeing the big picture, the things that I can't do for myself, the things that Mordecai couldn't do for himself, the Jews couldn't do for themselves, he started pushing some of the little wires in King Ahasuerus' head, so to say, and he couldn't sleep. So we're going to read the whole chapter here of chapter 6. "On that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" Wow. And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said." And I'm going to add in here, "Thou most noble prince. And do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Wow. The Lord pushed some buttons here. Remember, Mordecai was just a gatekeeper or in the king's gate sitting there, but he honored God. And the Lord saw what was going on and what was being formed against him. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him." And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. God was orchestrating all of this, and that fasting and praying, I presume, I don't know, did it say, but this time that was set aside before God in relation to all of these things was blessed. And we see God at work, stirring up thoughts in the king who couldn't sleep. Next, I'd like to look at chapter 7, verses 3 to 6. "Then Esther the queen answered and said, 'If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage.' Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, 'Who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so?'" And as far as I know, she had not yet revealed her people. So even though he may have heard something about what Haman was doing, here now she says, "And Esther said, 'The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman.' Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen." Can you imagine? Haman had been invited to a special dinner. And then at that dinner was invited to come the next day. And things were seeming pretty good. But things are not going to work out well for those that are not on the Lord's side. Verse 10 of that same chapter, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. So now I would like to read chapter 8, and I'd like to think about it, how this person that had been used for, or had been in a somewhat humble position before, when the time was right, Mordecai was used in a mighty way to save and defend the Jews, and he was in a position of honor. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king, and said, If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is, the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus's name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Things turned around, and, you know, you see Mordecai in honor at the end of things here. And I had to think about that those that are faithful in the least will be given much. And, you know, if we take the job that God has assigned for us today, and we do it heartily, as unto the Lord, we will be blessed, and the Lord will continue to give us work to do. When life feels like an impossible failure, remain in the gate, humbly serving the King. There are many rewards to the diligent and faithful. Be a good doorkeeper. God may have big plans for your life. If we go back and we look, he was sitting in the king's gate, hated by Haman, in sackcloth and ashes, fasting from food and water, steps along the way of getting to where he was later. Sometimes when we're doing those things, whether it's preparing to do the work for ABT, or whether it's trying to figure out what God has us to do where and how and when, there are things that come along that just make it look exhausting and like things aren't working out right, or, you know. And, you know, we need to remember God has the whole picture in hand. And some of these things that come along that are difficult, they are for our strengthening if we will let them be used that way. God has everything in hand. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.